You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Devin Booker hamstring watch continues here on today's Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am your host, Brendan Kleen. You can follow the show on Twitter and on Instagram at LockedOnPHXSuns, and you can follow me on Twitter at BrendanKleen14. I cover the NBA and the Suns at Dime Magazine, Forbes, and SB Nation, which means that you come here not only to get a daily dose of news, analysis, and rumors even about the Suns, but you also come here to see how the Suns fit into the broader context of the NBA. And that's what our show is going to hit today pretty heavily. We're going to bring on Yasmin Dwale of Basketball News, Yahoo Sports, and the Dishes and Dimes podcast to talk about a piece she wrote and a thing I've been thinking a lot about, which is inside the NBA. We have a few days without Suns games, so yes, you heard that right. It is the TNT analysis show, pre-post-game halftime show with Charles Barkley and the gang, and it's gotten some headlines lately for, in my opinion, the wrong reasons, and I want to dive into that. She wrote a great piece. We're going to get into it. Why is it that way? Why do they seem to be getting more and more absurd and ridiculous by the season? Why is this season in particular just so dominated by ridiculous comments and everything else? So stick around for a great conversation there. But before I get into any of that, I want to tell you guys about this Suns week ahead, and I want to break it down for you. We have only three games, which for Booker and his recovery from that left hamstring strain is good news. They do have a back-to-back in there, but overall it's a little bit of a light week. The Suns have been we did have a week off when the COVID situation hit, but they have been pretty heavy through the first month here, so they'll get a little bit of a down week, but it is Oklahoma City followed by Golden State on Thursday, both home games, that back-to-back, and then over to Dallas on Saturday. So let's break that down. I think the few things that I'm looking at, as we do have a little bit more of an idea of what the Suns are as a team and what they looked like without Booker especially, I'm looking for, you know, is there a bench on the opposing side that you have to worry about? This bench has been pretty bad lately, and they are missing some pieces, namely Dario Saric, as well as Cam Johnson and Jay Crowder, who are now both in the starting lineup, so they're not in the bench unit anymore either. And also, Cam Payne has not looked like himself. So, is there a bench that's gonna hurt you? Fortunately, I think all three of these games, I don't think it's necessarily much of an issue. Is there a switching aspect to the opposing team's defense? Because whether or not that has been the Suns opponent's regular scheme, they've gone to it. Opposing teams have to great success against this Suns group, and they are not answering well. Phoenix is really struggling when teams defend that way. So does the opponent have a roster and a scheme that you could see it happening? And we'll get into one of the games this week. I'm sure you can guess which, where that might pose some problems for the Suns. And then, you know, how good is the opposing offense? Like, will Booker's absence really be a problem when it comes down to it? And the Suns probably have a little bit, well, they surely have a lower offensive ceiling without their best scorer and without their all-star suiting up. So I don't know if he'll play in any of these games. I'm going to assume he definitely misses Wednesday and Thursday. That just seems like the safe assumption. He got injured on Friday. If he were to take a week off, that would mean he misses those two. I think Saturday is probably when I would start to think he could be in consideration to return. It really depends. We just probably won't have a good idea until tip-off of every single night if he's going to play. I don't know. We don't have an injury report to look at until 24 hours before Wednesday's game, so Just not a lot of info out there right now. I'm going to assume he misses the first two. But let's dive into Oklahoma City. It's an interesting team, one that I haven't watched a ton. There's not a lot of a reason to watch this team right now. But what I have seen is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is continuing to play at a really high level despite less talent around him, which is a great thing to see for a player who has had a lot of different circumstances around him on all the various types of teams he's played on. He was in LA as like a, you know, third, fourth option. Then he's in Oklahoma City with Chris Paul last year. And now as the top dog here, he's averaging 22-6-5 and shooting 51% from the field. So looking like an all-star candidate really through 15 games here. What Oklahoma City's best at is they've actually overperformed defensively. You know, they're a young team. They do have Al Horford though, and they've been a better defensive team than offensive. And that 6-9 record is a little bit of a tell, or the opposite. It's not indicative of how good they've been. They've outperformed their expected wins by about 2 wins. So really, they're more like statistically a 4-11 team. That's closer to what we all expected. So the pace is high, which tends to be true of not only young teams, but bad offensive teams. So, you know, when you miss shots, the pace is going to pick up because there's going to be more misses. And so, yeah, they've been a little bit better. They're 20th on defense, 30th on offense, according to Basketball Reference, a little different on cleaning the glass, which you guys know I prefer. So I look at it and I don't think there's too much of an issue for the Suns. You know, they're a team, you don't want to let them sneak up on you. We know all the usual things with these frisky younger groups. They can win any night, but if you take care of business, they shouldn't be able to beat you. What I would say to look for here, the Thunder allow a lot of threes and they allow teams to make a lot of threes. Their three-point defense is not very sound, and so that's where I'm looking to start things off. I'm looking at the Suns are an amazing three-point shooting team. They're a team that we know that's a strength on the forward spot. Crowder, Bridges, and Johnson, I'd expect them to get a healthy dose. I'd expect, you know, maybe Langston Galloway, Abdel Nader can get some shots up there. And then the Thunder don't defend the rim very well. They're 67% at the rim. So if the Suns can get those easy best shots in basketball and make them, even without Devin Booker, I don't think they should have too much problem. Let's get into Golden State, though, because that's the one I imagine will be a little bit tougher. A lot of those things are true of Golden State, and especially the switching defense opportunity that Golden State has. We know that's how they defended at their peak. We know that the roster looks different, but I think a lot of how their roster is constructed is at least similar in the types of players that they've assembled. You can see a Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, James Wiseman, Oubre, Wiggins, Bazemore. A lot of these pieces are still up for the task. From what I have watched of them, that's not how they defend really anymore without the likes of Iguodala and Klay Thompson and Sean Livingston and those types of guys. We remember Kevin Durant, of course, but they can is the point. And I could imagine a situation in which that switching throws off the Suns, especially without the isolation scoring of Devin Booker. And Steph Curry is just a peculiar matchup for this team because with Chris Paul sort of being hidden a little bit, one-on-one matchups, he's an impactful team defender. He's an impactful overall defender. His communication, just being at these games, is still elite. It's still a major part of the value he brings, but he's not going to stop Steph Curry. He's not going to chase Steph Curry around screens, especially with the offensive load he's going to be asked to carry with Devin Booker out. Mikal Bridges isn't really a perfect guy either. We see the foul trouble he can get in when he's having to fight through screens all night. He's not really size-wise a good matchup for Curry either. And then you just start to have the domino effect of if you're really shuffling things around so much, then Curry, you know, the other guys on the team can get theirs, and maybe there's not enough of that to make you worry. Maybe Bridges does start on Curry, but it's not perfect. It's not ideal. And so that's the one that I think you'd be worried most about this week, personally. And the bench isn't bad. Like, they have Wanamaker, they have Bazemore, they have Looney coming off the bench, they have some shooters in Michael Mulder and those types of guys. So Damian Lee, those guys, I'm worried about Golden State if I'm the Suns. I think that's one that they need to be ready for, and it is on the second night of a back-to-back, so that poses its own challenges. Closing out the week with Dallas on Saturday, I think that the Suns just have a good matchup for the Mavericks. I think that the ability of Mikal Bridges to stop so much of what Luka Doncic does with his length, his athleticism, his intelligence as a defender, it just really has slowed Luka down almost every single time that these teams have matched up during the Luka era in Dallas. And in my opinion, I just don't worry about them as much. And yes, Kristaps Porzingis is back, but they're still without Maxi Kleba, without Josh Richardson. Maybe that changes by Saturday and things look differently. With the possibility Booker is back for that game, with what we know Bridges can do, and with the fact that the Mavericks play a drop defense, they do not have really that switching ability with the traditional big men that they play. Not that it's completely traditional. Kleba can switch. Even Dwight Powell, I suppose, is an option there. Maybe they do it, but that's not typically how they defend. And so I would say that the Dallas game is actually less worrying to me than the Golden State game is. Maybe that sounds ridiculous, but I think when you look at what this Suns team has struggled with, the Dallas, they don't really have a bench right now, too, while they're so thin. If some of these guys are back by Saturday, a lot of this changes, but I'm not betting on that, and I'm not betting on them being at full capacity. They've been basically a 500 team with guys in and out of the lineup all year long. So I'm going to go on the record, predict a 2-1 record here for the Suns this week. That would get them back to 10-8, feeling a lot better about themselves. Dallas is a nice team to be able to check yourself against and actually have like a benchmark for yourself. So that's where I'm at, 2-1, and it should be a fun week of basketball. I'm not, like many of you seem to be, for better or worse, kind of out on this team. I am not out on this team, and I'm pretty optimistic that they can get back on track here. So let's go to a little bit of a different conversation here, talking about inside the NBA, the media environment around the NBA. Why do the best players today not have the respect for Shaq and Chuck and the guys as they used to? And remember that Draymond Green, Devin Booker controversy where Draymond went on Inside and said that Devin Booker needed to get out of Phoenix? I wanted to revisit that a little bit, and Yasmin helped me do that. So it's a good one. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. As I told you guys yesterday, the Super Bowl is the best betting day of the entire year, not because the game is really all that fun to bet on. The Bucks are down, are underdogs by 3.5 points. The Chiefs are expectedly the favorites, although the home thing for the Bucks is interesting. The prop bets, the anthem props, the cross sport props, which I will tell you guys about in just a second. BetOnline is the number one place to go and the only one that we trust on the Locked On Podcast Network. BetOnline.ag, they have your Super Bowl. I mean, they have everything you could ever need. Literally, I think hundreds of different things to bet on for Super Bowl Sunday. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's all one word, the name of our network, for your 50% welcome bonus. Here's the prop bet, guys. It's Suns related and I love it. Courtesy of BetOnline, they have cross sport props. So here is the thing. What will be higher? And it's a ton of them. There's like Tiger Woods birdies versus Patrick Mahomes passing yards. But there's two that you cannot miss that are both Suns related, and I love them both. Okay, what will be higher? Patrick Mahomes pass completions or Devin Booker total points in the Suns game on February 7th, Super Bowl Sunday? I love it. What will be higher? Patrick Mahomes rushing yards or DeAndre Ayton rebounds plus blocks on Super Bowl Sunday? And that one's fun. Booker and Mahomes, the odds aren't great. It's not a very fun one to bet on. But DeAndre Ayton rebounds plus blocks right there is plus 135. So you could make some good money and have a vested interest in the Suns game that night. It's just one example of all the fun stuff that BetOnline has for you to get in on the action on Super Bowl Sunday. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. And do not forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. Again, the name of our network, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Joined now by my guest for today's show. Her name is Yasmin Dwale. She is a contributor at Yahoo Sports as well as Basketball News, and one of the many hosts of the wonderful Dishes and Dimes podcast, which you can also find on Basketball News or wherever you listen to podcasts. And Yasmin, you wrote something this week about inside the NBA and sort of the, I don't even know how to describe it. I guess it's, I was going to say it's like the no man's land a little bit that it finds itself in, but I don't even know if they would describe it that way. And I think that's sort of what your piece gets at, is that there are sort of different incentives on every side of this show as it remains like the biggest NBA analysis show because it's on TV, because of the star power of the hosts. So it kind of came to the fore a little bit this week with Donovan Mitchell and his very simple and blunt response to Shaq in the weird way that Shaq decided to ask it. So what was in your mind as you saw this play out? And I guess kind of what did you bring to the table from before about this show?
So I think I noticed it, that something was up with the show when Christian Wood had his exchange with Shaquille O'Neal.
Casual,
calling him a casual. I don't know. I think the show's in a unique position because of social distancing rules. And I think that right now they're trying to retain viewership in a way that is kind of just scandalous and purposefully inciting some controversy, saying questionable things. Because I just noticed the show has been almost parody as of late. Mm. Just little comments like, I think it was either Shaq or Chuck referring to Jokic as Russian. Like when he very clearly is not. So, it was just a collection of statements. And I think things that I've noticed throughout the last several months in lockdown in regards to the show.
Yeah, let me ask you this, like previous to this, and just as a basketball fan, as somebody who covers the NBA, was this a show that you like responded to positively in the past? Like, did your relationship to it change because of these things? Or are you somebody who maybe never really cared much for it?
I think that like other people, you know, the show had its endearing qualities. It would, you know, occasionally go viral for a funny segment or a humorous interaction between the hosts. So I think I saw the value there, especially with having, you know, the legendary players contributing as well, which I think was, now I think my questions about that are kind of more, I find the arrangement a little more questionable with having retired players, especially the ones that don't seem to really like basketball today. Yeah. I think I've noticed that with Shaq and Chuck, and not so much with Kenny, but like I think that I've noticed that there's a kind of like a get off my porch quality to the show that's just been ignited as of late. And I think that right now it might end up burning some relationships and making the show kind of a place where players go or refuse to go to, or if they go to, they're kind of uncooperative, which kind of, you know, diminishes the value that you get from having ex-superstars on the panel. Because, you know, the whole point is to increase access, to bring a insider view. But if you have guys who just do not fraternize with current players, like where's the value in that? You know, that's what kind of a question that I had, like, would this end up being worse for player and media relations in the end?
Yeah, I agree. I think the way that I've always looked at the show is like, if you're looking to get insight and genuine, like pretty thoughtful analysis of like the absolute superstars, I'm talking like the top 10 to 15 players in the league, I actually do feel like they give that. Like They know the difference between, you know, what, and it's no coincidence to me, some of the guys who have become the targets of theirs, whether that's Rudy Gobert or even Jokic, maybe a couple of years ago, not so much anymore. Or Christian Wood, I guess, maybe too, as somebody who is breaking out on a bad team. Like, it's the guys who haven't transitioned to consistent every night winning players that Chuck and Shaq sort of think of themselves as, and obviously were for a great deal of their careers. And so that's how I've always felt. But like you said, the fracturing there, I do think it is a problem, and it just makes it less entertaining because we know who's good. Like, we watch the games. Any fan that's watching is also, I think, going to be sort of, whether you happen to root for the Utah Jazz or not, you're going to watch Donovan Mitchell, who had like a hell of a game prior to that question that Shaq asked him about,
right?
Being, you know, a championship level player consistently affecting the game in all the different ways, or whatever his exact wording was. And it's like, you're just going to alienate people. And that's how I felt. It's like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, we all have qualms. Like, he's a guy who hasn't gotten over the hump in the playoffs and all that, but what are we doing here? Like, this guy just scored 40 and the team won. And that's the question. Like, it's, it was very puzzling.
It was, yeah. And I think that most people did not mention that, just how uncomfortable the exchange was. Like, this is not really how people communicate, especially on a casual basis. Like, I don't think that there's a relationship there to warrant Shaq kind of approaching him with that tough love sense. So you could see it in Donovan's face, where he's just thinking like, yeah, this guy's kind of overstepping a boundary right now. And I don't know if that's something people want to watch.
And you can tell too that like you said, it almost, like you said, like the hosts being legendary players kind of should lend itself to, like, I think back to, they actually had a pretty good interview with Montrezl Harrell when he won the Sixth Man of the Year trophy. They got a sit down with him. It was obviously over Zoom because they weren't in the bubble, but that was like an example of this guy who kind of is in the middle of his career, kind of got to a point where now he's being recognized, and it felt like they actually related to him pretty well. And Montrez is a guy who's not always super forthcoming. Like, that's an example, if anyone watched that, of a good one. But I don't know if these guys have the same level of respect anymore. And some of what you cited in the piece is, you know, Kevin Durant sort of going back against them a little bit on social media. I think LeBron James had something similar. And when that starts to happen, it's like, well, then what are we doing here? Because I'm not exactly sure what the value is if these guys who are there specifically because they're supposed to be respected and entertaining and insightful are kind of checking none of those boxes anymore.
Yeah. You know, I think the whole point of, like, these players already face enough critique from the general public. And I think that the whole point of having these shows, the interviews, the media, is to just help yield information and, you know, distribute it. So if you're kind of fracturing these relationships and making more players hesitant to, you know, open up, then they're kind of failing with their objective, unless that's not really the objective. And we're talking about like a purely entertainment kind of reality show sort of thing, which is maybe the lens that we should start viewing this show. Perhaps players shouldn't take it seriously. And I don't know if that's what they want, which makes it kind of a predicament,
and I guess to people who really like basketball, a little bit of a disappointment. But that's a perfect transition into the Draymond Green, Devin Booker thing that I think is worth revisiting. So we'll do that right after this break. With the ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible basically to stock all the parts you need for your car in a traditional chain store. Why endure often pointless or intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? Or for me, like, my Hyundai has the tech package and it's the LE, even though I paid the normal amount, I didn't even necessarily know what I was getting, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing what that warehouse happens to have, and you just get the impression you're paying way too much, and that's because you are. You have a computer. You have access to the internet, hopefully. So go to rockauto.com yourself, at home or in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for more important stuff, which we all know is really important right now. A lot of us are saving and trying to be frugal. So rockauto.com is what you need, because the car doesn't stop breaking down. You don't stop needing to repair and reservice your car, but you don't need to give as much money to do it. Chain stores have different price tiers for pros versus do-it-yourselfers, whereas Rock Auto is always the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest price available for everybody, and it does not require a membership or even an account login. You don't even have to make an account. Just purchase stuff and get out of there. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Their catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, and again, you don't have to log on. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specs, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, those prices, once again, are reliably low and the same for everyone. So when you get to rockauto.com, write "locked on" in their "how did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Want to tell you as well about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And I am making my way through my box. I have my fiance hooked. She tried out the peanut butter. She loved it. It was perfect. She's somebody who tries to not overeat. She's not always, her stomach doesn't always sit well in the morning. So something like this, just that perfect little snack, is working well for her too. Whereas I love it after I go out for a run or do a quick workout, go on a hike, trying to take advantage of the weather this time of year in the valley. So it's really a do-it-all thing. It's high in protein, low in calories, and low in sugar, so it works in a variety of situations. Maybe you have it as part of a snack. Maybe you have it as a pick-me-up after that workout. Whatever you need, and they are all delicious. The best tasting protein bar ever. Really more like a candy bar, covered in chocolate, soft, easy to chew, not these chalky, gritty bricks that you find in other companies' inventory. So head over to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON at checkout for 20% off your first order at builtbar.com. Okay, back here with Yasmin Dwali of Basketball News. We want to dive into this Draymond Green, Devin Booker thing that probably is maybe not in the front of many fans' minds, even of Suns fans, but I think is an illustration of exactly this, because Draymond Green made his debut on Inside the NBA, obviously notorious for the four people who we know host it, and not too much of a change, and Draymond sort of broke through there. And for the most part, I think when he was breaking down tape, in-game, kind of halftime show stuff, it's kind of like the Tony Romo thing in the NFL. Like, these guys who are high level players and come right out of it and start analyzing the game have an insight because they know the tendencies of the players they're talking about, and they are fresh off of their careers. And so I thought he was really good, but on August 9th, as the Suns are in the middle of their undefeated start, again, similar to Donovan Mitchell winning a game with a 40-point night, Draymond takes the opportunity to say that they need to get, I don't know who he's even sort of referring to, but like, Devin Booker needs to get out of Phoenix is effectively what he says. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win, because he's that type of player, and was fined $50,000 by the NBA because, again, he is still a current player, so you can't say stuff like that. That's tampering. Yasmin, you said you kind of had to go back and refresh yourself on this, and I did too, because it was in the middle of the bubble craziness. But it feels like this is a perfect example of the league, or of the show not knowing what it wants to be, because you have this genius player on your panel doing great stuff, and then the only kind of priority of his seems to be to say something that gets on the headlines.
I think the whole statement didn't really make much sense, because, you know, Devin is so young. So it was just strange to make it sound like he was just like this aging player on the latter end of his prime, who needs to win at the highest level immediately. Like, he's the type of player that should be in a system that he is, you know, contributing to building. You know, I think that's the point. With the way Phoenix is built around him, and how they're doing it the classic way. They're building a team based off of, cultivating young talent and everything. But yeah, like, the thing with Draymond's statement is it kind of lends to how, you know, you have this guy who's giving excellent analysis, and then it all culminates to him making, you know, kind of a bit of a reality TV show remark. And we saw with the James Harden trade to the Nets how these moves just bring so much content and viewership to these shows. And I guess they're kind of trying to stimulate that. But yeah, it's another example of that identity crisis for the program. And I think that if anything, quarantine has kind of shed a light on it. And now I feel like it's only going to get even more pronounced with the example. I think that the exchanges are going to get worse if you have players like Kevin Durant, you know, brushing off statements made by Chuck. And, you know, I think that when you have players at the highest level there, they're going to set an example for that, you know, brotherhood in the NBA. So yeah. I think we're bound to get more humorous examples going forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, I was going to say, you mentioned that, like, some of it is just structural because of the nature of how the show's being produced during the pandemic. They're not in person. And even more specifically, I think with some of these post-game Q&A sort of situations, those are filling in where a sideline reporter would have operated in the past. And some, right, some games don't have those, or we've seen like those coach interviews that they do after each quarter are being done with the headset to the guy in their basement. Like, it's suboptimal. And I do think that's part of it. I hope that these interactions show TNT that when they can get sideline reporters back in the building, those people who are paid to be reporters and ask good questions and all of that should be the ones doing that again. But the other thing, I said that I do tend to appreciate the analysis that the inside guys give on superstars. I also just tend to feel like they, in the past, like being on TV, the shows that are on TV, whether that's The Jump or the ESPN panel show or Inside, like I do think that's sort of the pinnacle of who NBA players respond to. Like there's, you know, writers that we all read if we like and like to read about the NBA and consume content around it. But the NBA players aren't going to, like, you know, Tom Haberstroh's not getting the cachet or whatever, yeah, as some of these guys. And so I thought that was always something like an advantage. Like, no matter what, Inside will always have the fact that the players respond and kind of look for the respect of these guys. And like you said, if that's sort of going away, like, it's disappointing. It is the word I keep coming back to, because I mean, this show is silly. Like, basketball is just a silly sport, but it's like, I don't know. You would like it to be kind of taken seriously when it should. And it's just disappointing that the so-called legendary players who are doing the show are kind of veering in the other direction, or even that you see like a Draymond Green, who we know he can talk some trash and let loose a little bit. Of course, it's not a surprise he would say something like that, but it is like, okay, but you're also brilliant. So like the screen, when you go up there and start talking about stuff, like that's awesome. And I don't know, maybe it is just the nature of sort of where we are with media that it's not a winning proposition for ratings and all of that to lean that way with the show.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we already have so much compromise happening, you know, in the midst of the pandemic with empty arenas, and like everything is just so unorthodox right now. So when you add like the quality of the media going downward to the mix, it just makes the season feel all the more fake, which is like something that I feel like they should all be avoiding. Like if anything, decorum and analysis should be of the highest quality in order to kind of salvage some sort of normalcy. But yeah, that hasn't been the case. So it just added to like the surrealness of the season. Like it honestly does not feel real right now.
That's a good point. And I think that's a good place to end it. I think, it is a predicament that the league sort of needs to figure out. I mean, hopefully, I think a lot of this just gets answered by the virus sort of going away a little bit more and more as the season goes on. And hopefully that's just sort of the nature of things, is this first couple of months sucks and then things gradually improve in terms of players not getting sick and some of this stuff getting to go back to normal. Like the NFL, you know, they're their game broadcasters are in the building for the most part. And I know that's dangerous. I don't necessarily advocate for that, but it does, I think it does help. Like, it does make the game feel more real. And so that's a fine line. I don't think.
Are you in Arizona right now?
I am in Arizona right now.
What is the state of, like, you know, public policy there? Like, are people locked down? Because I'm in Toronto and we are in a hard lockdown. I've been in my house for months right now.
Arizona is, we have twice over the course of this situation become the number one world hotspot. So,
oh my goodness.
Folks are not being asked to do just about anything to adjust. We don't even have a state mask mandate. We have a county mask mandate.
Oh my goodness.
It's a little bit of a nightmare. Yeah, I'm not optimistic that maybe Phoenix games will go back to normal, but maybe we can get it figured out somewhere else. But you can read her work at Basketball News. You can listen to her on the Dishes and Dimes podcast. And thank you for coming on, Yasmin.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.